I wasn't sure what it is that woke me. Not even my super human vampire senses were infallible. I still had so many of my human habits, and unlike some of my kind, I valued, even cherished, my idiosyncrasies that linked me to my human past. But that was not what was on my mind, my tragic human past. What I thought to as I started awake was, good God, where was I? You see, I wasn't in my home. I wasn't in my safe, sunless room. I wasn't in my bed. And as I came swiftly to wakefulness and opened my eyes, I was horrified, terrified to realize that there was light, golden edged sunlight. Not much, mind you, for anyone without my particular gifts and senses. It would have been the merest illumination at the edge of a curtain, the tiniest, palest of beams moving inexorably across the floor. It was where I rested on the chaise lounge. It was sunlight, and what the bloody hell was it doing where I rested? I sat up, moving from deep slumber, which is something I did not do often. Vampires don't go without sleep. Damn those Twilight books. But we certainly don't need as much as a human. I went from deep, restful slumber to startled, horrified wakefulness in an instant. I was not in my bed, and there was light coming through the window, moving towards me, and had it touched my bed flash, well, although, despite popular belief, I most likely would not burst into flame. It would hurt. It would burn. And if left unchecked, it would ultimately kill. I edged away from that tiny, damning, fatal beam of light, swallowing down my panic. I had not been nearly so lazy, so foolish as to allow myself somewhere where there might be light in a very long time. What the hell had happened? I looked around the room, and it came back to me in a rush, in a flood, all of it. Not bits of memory, not here and there, but all of it. At once. It had been not so very long, not by my standards, but a week, nearly two, since that frozen moment on my stoop, that wondrous, terrifying moment where I kissed you and wanted you. And needed you. And feared I would inevitably hurt or even kill you. I kissed you and you kissed me, and had it not been for your graciousness, You're giving me an out. You're withdrawing when you saw I was uncomfortable. Had it not been for your restraint, I am pretty confident I would have taken you inside. I would have kissed you more. I would have done so many more things. And despite having fed before I left there, my home, I knew that this hunger for you could easily transfer from one hunger of the flesh to another. So although it felt like the most mighty, titanic force of will I had thus far had to make use of, I did it. I told you goodnight, and I closed the door, and I vowed to never see or speak with you again. It was the only way I could be sure not to touch you, kiss you, call you, text you, be with you. But it didn't work. See, that's the problem with a relationship, if that's what we had. The problem is there are two personages. And if you believe in the more modern way of things, or perhaps the very ancient way of things, relationships were often multiple partners. Polyamorous, I believe, is the word they use now. Harem was more in line with what it used to be. Regardless, we had somehow, despite my very best of intentions, stumbled upon and fallen into a relationship. It started out with a text, innocent enough. And I thought, well, it's just a few little words on a little screen. How could that possibly be a problem? And then it became more text. And then it was a brief call. And then a longer. And then we were talking every night. An hour or two past sunset, I would find excuse to call you, or you would find excuse to call me, and we would talk for hours, but everything and nothing. You took me with you to the shop to get milk, and we debated the relative merits of brand and fat content, even though I'd not had milk for a very long time. Back when I was drinking milk, the only way to get it was out of the cart with the cow directly. Which spoke to how old I was, and not something you should ask a lady, so I'll not volunteer. And we talked, and you wanted to see me, and you pressed me, and you tried, and I came up with excuse after excuse, but it became increasingly difficult because suddenly I could not deny. I didn't want to stop. And then you showed up on my doorstep. Damn me. Leading you there. You showed up 1 hour past sunset, and you didn't bring me flowers. You didn't bring me wine. Instead, you brought me milk. The very variety we had finally agreed was superior in quality and taste and fat content. I laughed so hard I very nearly cried. And it seemed positively churlish not to invite you in for a cup of tea after that. Tea with which to put our milk inside. I could drink liquids, I could imbibe them. I didn't derive any real sustenance from them. And not. It wouldn't keep me any more alive. But I could drink it. And I did. And we laughed and we talked and we touched hands and I pulled away. Quickly. As if burned so fast. It was almost invisible to naked eye. And you startled. Worried it caused some offense. Look on your face. Such pain, such regret, instantly. I had to make it better. So I shook my head and I apologized and I stood with my empty teacup on my mother's tea set. I took my cup and rattling on its saucer, I walked to the sink and gently put it down. Ran water, so the noise would mean I did not have to speak. I never had many dishes, understandably. When one does not eat or drink, one does not dirty many a dish. But right then, washing my antique cup and saucer noisily bought me some time. But not long. Not long before you arose and walked up near me. You didn't touch me this time. You deliberately did not startle me. You just came closer. And when my cup and saucer were washed and drained, you handed me yours, and I dutifully washed that as well. And when everything was done, you handed me a dish towel, a tea towel to dry my hands on. I looked at you then, the merest brief flicker of my eyes toward yours, and I was astonished at the understanding I saw there in your face, the tender, patient, empathetic aspect of your mind. I didn't know how to respond, I didn't know what to say. So I didn't say anything, I stood there, feeling more awkward than I had in more years than I cared to count. And finally it was you who broke the silence. You who told me. I don't know what I've done. If I have or haven't done something. But clearly, you're uncomfortable with my touching you. But I know that you like me, I know it. So I won't touch you. But I'm not going away either. And you said it just like that. You looked me in the eyes, you said it. That you would forgo touching me. But you would not sacrifice time with me. I thought perhaps we could maintain that balance. No touch, just company. But that could only last so long, couldn't it? One night, I very foolishly agreed to have tea at your place. It was sheer foolishness, utter ridiculous notion. But I did, and it went calmly, sweetly, nicely. We played chess, I beat you soundly. I'm not a grandmaster, but when you've played a game for a very long time, you tend to pick up a few things. We had tea, we talked, we laughed. And then I left many hours before sunrise. I've been to your place 3 times now, 4, I suppose it was. This was my 4th time in your flat. And somehow, I had ended here, on the chaise lounge, asleep. Asleep with that damning edge of light moving towards me inexorably. How did I? I can't believe it. And if I was here in the lounge, where, then, would you? I had a moment of panic. I got up. I went to the bathroom. I knew it was by then. You weren't in there. There was no heat or moisture to the room. You had not showered. I looked in the mirror. And that, too, is one of the myths that is, in fact, myth. There is not a simple, easy explanation as to why vampires can and cannot be seen on film. There's a discussion of the silver nitrate being to blame, but in digital images we can exist, and in face-to-face refraction of light, mirrors, we're plenty visible. So I look. Note. Makeup's made a little. Hair a bit awry. And I give myself a tiniest smile, flashing the tiniest bit of fang, because despite the fear and the recrimination for staying the night and being here after sunset, I like being in your home. I like your things. I like knowing you're down the hall. I don't remember how it is I came to lose consciousness. I do remember that we moved from tea to very old and good scotch. I didn't know it was possible for a vampire to get drunk. It hasn't been anything within my realm of experience thus far. We tend to metabolize liquid very quickly. And poisons don't really affect us, but apparently, given enough, in a short duration, they can put us to sleep. Because here I was. I smiled at myself gently in the mirror, and then, in a flash of horror, I realized there was blood on my mouth. Not much, just a trace, an edge, the crease of the corner of my mouth. There was unmistakable blood. I moved my tongue across my teeth, the roof of my mouth, tasted my own lips, and sure enough, not much, but there was the unmistakable taste of human blood. Again, it came to me all in a flash, all at once, I remembered. And I ran. I ran so fast that were there cameras or mirrors to catch me, they would have seen nothing but a blur. I ran down the hallway and I threw open your door. And found you there, on your bed. Still, so still. Nothing but a pair of underthings. What do they call those? Boxer briefs. Black. Pale against the palest blue of your sheets. And was blood. Not so much compared to someone who'd lost all of theirs. But there was blood upon your neck and upon the sheets, and you were so still, so quiet. I nearly ran from the room. body nearly turned tail. To flee like the coward I was, to throw open the door and run into the street and end my life as it seems I have ended. And then you shifted. You coughed, just a little. Turned your head. Hugged the pillow against your face you were laying upon. And I saw it, on the other side of your neck. Not another bite mark, not ligature, not great pools of spreading blood. There was just a little. And you were here and you were alive. Dear God, in heaven you were alive. In your room there was no terrifying edge of light. You had very sturdy, very thoroughly good blackout curtains. So, despite the lack of light, the faintest glow through the very dark and closed curtains, I could see you with my vampire vision, but I don't know that anyone else would have, no human. But I saw you, and my emotions ran the gamut from terror, self-recrimination, suicide, anger, wonder, astonishment, joy. I thought perhaps I should be restrained and quietly leave you to your rest, but I couldn't bear not to see your eyes open. Despite the evidence of your breathing and lying there, I now knew I had to see you. Awake, alive, alert, I had to see you look into my face and know if you knew my secret, or did I do that? We were both deep in drink. Did you know what I was? So even though part of me wanted to throw myself down upon the bed next to you, in gleeful abandon, because I was so relieved to discover you were in fact alive. Instead, with a little more restraint, I climbed into your bed. A bed that clearly I had been in previously that evening. I climbed into your bed on that half, not taken up by your sprawled, tan, fit body. I crawled in and I laid down on my side, knees partially pulled up, fighting the urge to be in a fetal position. I laid my head on the pillow just inches from yours. I watched you breathe. I counted your breaths. Breathe with you. And after a dozen breaths or so, I reached out and I touched you. The barest brush at my fingertips, at the hair at your temple. Your breathing changed a little, so I did it again, running my fingers through your hair. And again, your breathing's changed. You started to stir, and I ran my hand from the hair, your temple, down your stubble jaw, the strong neck, your bare shoulder, marveling in the feel of you, the heat and warmth and aliveness of you. I was so focused on the sensation of the skin of your body beneath my hand, I didn't even see the first flicker of your eyes opening until you looked at me. Looked at me and I peered into those deep brown with green flecked eyes. And they widened a bit, and for a moment I feared you were going to scream. To realize what I was and flee from before me, but instead, your eyes immediately closed half shut and you gave a little grin around the edge of your pillow. and told me. A little surprise, warm surprise, welcome surprise in your tone.
You're still here. And I couldn't help my answering grin.
Yes. Yes, it seems I am. I'm still here and so are you. And again you smiled, this time wider.
Yes. I am here.
Oh, but then I live here. You confided. And we both grinned. I touched your face again. Softly. Wonderingly. I trailed my fingers down your jaw. Along your neck. And rested my fingertips above the jugular vein there, counting your pulse, your heartbeats. I didn't need to touch to read it. I could hear it, I could see it. But I wanted reassurance tactilely. Your heart still beat sure and strong. You shifted your body some. So you move from being on your stomach to being on your side to face me. You moved even closer until our knees touched and you could rest one hand on my waist. And then you leaned in and kissed the tip of my nose.
Good morning, gorgeous, you told me. A winning smile on your face.
I couldn't help the stupid grin on my own face. I swear I felt like a prepubescent. So giddy. I tried to stomp down on it because I caught a glimpse of the edge of blood at your neck still upon the pillow. I immediately sobered and you seemed to know what caused the change. You moved up, raising your body on one elbow so your neck and shoulders were off the bed. And you turned your neck and you showed me the puncture wound. You touched it gently and then you looked at me so directly, so frankly. Hard. There was something hard in your face I had not seen thus far. Something unyielding. You looked hard at me and you simply said,
"It's okay. It's more than okay. I know who you are, what you are. And I want you, all of you. And if this is part of the bargain, I am more than happy to pay."
I bit my lip. I didn't think it possible. But here I was, and I think perhaps, well, I didn't even have words. Emily dressed my fingertips across the skin to either side of your wounds. Gently. So gently. And I have no doubt my face reflected the wonder, the fear, the affection and the worry all at once. You just moved to slide your hand along my cheek. You cupped my face, cradled it, and moved towards me slowly, oh, so slowly, closing that distance between us. You kissed the tip of my nose again, and then the spot between my eyebrows, like a glabella, if you were curious.
You stroked my glabella and kissed it gently. And then my forehead. And then my eyes gently upon each closed lid. And my cheek softly, sweetly. And the other. And then finally then, you rested your warm, yielding lips upon mine and you kissed me. You kissed me with infinite tenderness. And I couldn't help the tiny, pleasured, relieved little moan that leaked into your lips from mine. You pulled back enough to look at me, to see my eyes, and you told me, I know what you are, and I want you, all of you. Do you understand? And there was that hardness again, this unyielding. He meant it, you meant it, dear God. So I just nodded. I couldn't even find my voice, I just nodded. And you bent to kiss me tenderly again. And somehow, for the first time in uncounted years, I thought perhaps, maybe just perhaps, I might have someone. Someone real. Someone good. Someone who knew my secret and wanted me, not because of it and not in spite of it, but just because it was part of who I was.